So let's get to that. How do we demonstrate this special quality of understanding that I'm calling empathic connection? Well, I've already mentioned the main component, its presence, just our being fully present to what's alive in the person in front of us. Now, empathy takes place in the now. So if the other person is telling me about some things that happened in their life in the past that has caused great pain in them, I put my focus on what is alive in them now when they're telling me this. If I get lost in the story of how this all began, I may intellectually understand what's going on in the person now, but I have found that that's far less powerful than if I connect with what is alive in the person now. So this presence in the now, as I have said in previous sessions, is on feelings and needs. That's the best way that I've learned to connect with what's alive in a person at a given moment, to connect with what they're feeling and needing at this moment. Now, that's often quite a challenge to be able to hear, because many people are not talking about what they are feeling and needing at this moment. They think they'll get the empathy they need by telling the story, so they're using a lot of words that go into the past and tell the story, not realizing that that story takes people out of the present and often requires a lot of words that make it even harder to form empathic connection. So we don't focus on what happened in the past, but what's alive in the person now as a result of what happened in the past. We may make reference to the past by saying something like, "So when your father used to beat you, it was pretty scary." But now the focus goes into the present. And by hearing you express that you're still feeling rage at your father for doing that. So they may have felt scared in the past when the father did it, but at this moment, as they're recalling it, they may be feeling rage. So that's where the empathic connection comes in the present feeling, not what happened in the past. So, empathy involves presence, focus on the now, focus on feelings and needs. That means not on thoughts. Most people are used to talking about their thoughts, what they think about something. But in nonviolent communication, we find that we can form a much more precious connection with people by hearing what is alive in them when they tell us their thoughts. And this requires being aware that many of the thoughts that people make, especially those that judge others or themselves, are really tragic expressions of what they are feeling and needing at that moment. For example, if person A says to person B, "All you do is watch television. You never spend any time with me. You're the most inconsiderate person I've ever met." This person is telling the other person what they think of that person is an inconsiderate person. Well, as I've suggested in previous sessions, all of these criticisms and judgments are tragic expressions of the needs of the speaker. So when we are making empathic connections, if somebody tells us what they think about us, we don't hear that. We try never to hear what a person thinks about us. I really believe that if we learn how to hear the life behind these thoughts, we'll enjoy people more and live longer. So we go to the feelings and needs that are being distorted by the thoughts that criticize oneself or others. Now, to do that is going to require some guessing, some sensing of what the feelings and needs might be, because the speaker is not directly saying them. And this means that we're going to be wrong some of the time. We're going to sense that a person might be feeling angry and they might be feeling hurt. I was working with a couple, and they had been married 20 years, and the wife was telling me about something that happened regularly in her life that he got angry about. And he immediately said, "I don't get angry, I feel hurt." So for 20 years, she had been guessing that he had been angry, but that wasn't how he said he felt. He felt hurt. So it's going to be difficult sometimes to really know what a person is feeling. And that's why in empathy, we need to check it out. We need to put into words what we sense the person might be feeling, and then we connect their feeling to what they might be needing. This means that we don't get addicted to being right. We want to connect. It's not a test that we have to get right. So no matter what thoughts or other forms of communication come at us, when we empathize in a nonviolent communication way, we try to connect with what's alive in the person in terms of their feelings and needs. And when we're not sure, we sometimes want to confirm whether or not we have connected empathically with the person by saying the words out loud. And that might sound like, "Are you feeling?" And we then add to that what we sense the person might be feeling. And then we connect their feelings to their needs. Are you feeling as you do because your need for X isn't being met? So that's the rhythm of empathy, to try to connect with these feelings and needs, and putting into words what feelings and needs we're sensing are alive in the person, under two conditions. One, when we're not sure we have understood and we want to put it into words to give the person a chance to correct us if we're not accurate. Another reason why we might want to confirm it is not so much for ourselves as for the other person. If the other person is making themselves very vulnerable, we may feel that we have fully understood them, but not need to verify it or confirm it for ourselves. But seeing how vulnerable they are, we might sense that they would feel less tense, less anxious, if they knew that we were just with them, just connecting with what's alive in them. When we do confirm verbally what the other person is feeling and needing, we do it under two conditions. The first, when we're not sure we have really connected to the person's feelings and needs, then we might put it into words, say, "Are you feeling?" and sense their feelings because you are needing. Then if we have guessed wrong, the person can correct us. The second reason why we might want to put it into words is if we sense the other person would enjoy confirmation that they have been fully understood. So though we might feel that we've understood, we sense their vulnerability, then reflect back what feelings and needs we heard in their message. And of course, sometimes we're going to guess wrong. We're going to guess they don't need it when they would appreciate it, and sometimes we're going to give it when they don't want it. A good example of what I mean was seen when I was working with some husbands and wives in a city in California. They were practicing empathy, and one of the husbands was practicing how to empathically connect with some pain his wife was experiencing. She was expressing some pain she had relative to aging and how terrible she felt when she saw the wrinkles in her face when she looked in the mirror. And the husband sensed that he really understood, and I can see why he would feel understanding, because she made it very clear what she was feeling and needing, just how sad she was, and just how she needed empathy for the challenges of aging. And just from his nonverbal expression, I felt he was really with her. And she made herself clear, so if I were in his position, I wouldn't have felt any need to confirm my understanding by putting it into words. So he just was silent, giving her space to say more if she wanted to. But she needed confirmation that he heard her. And she says, well, say something that tells me whether you're hearing me or not. Another couple went next and took a turn where the husband was trying to empathize with the wife. And this wife, too, was expressing some pain, I thought, in a very clear way, saying what she was feeling and needing in a trying situation in her life. And it looked to me from the man's nonverbal behavior that he was really with her and understanding her. So if I were in his place, I wouldn't have felt the need to say anything. And he didn't for a while, but then he seemed to sense that she would like some empathy. And he started to put it into words, and she said, stop that. I don't need that kind of empathy. I need a response. So we're going to guess wrong. But in nonviolent communication, we never try to be perfect. We try to be progressively less stupid. We're conscious that anything that's worth doing is worth doing poorly.